you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you, we're glad you're here. We're glad you're here.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, July 4th, 2025. Happy 4th of July and happy Independence Day. If you're out and about with these sunny skies upon us, don't forget sunscreen and to keep hydrated. Be excited about the enthusiasm we can have
for the freedoms we have in Christ as Christians and the fact that this great nation of ours provides us the independence to make choices, to be free to follow our convictions, and to have a form of representative government to do the people's will. But more importantly, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a much greater perspective, an eternal perspective, that our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, is in charge and has gifted us with the peace and comfort of knowing that our eternal destiny is settled because of his finished work on our behalf. What freedoms we have in Christ! Well, today I'm going to play some great music, and why don't I kick it off with one of my favorites, recorded by the Singing Men of GNN, as presented at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, 2 weeks after 9/11, as the Singing Men of GNN, along with the Varsity Men's Glee Club, put on a special concert under the direction of our first Singing Men director, Dr. Barrington Coleman. So on this 4th of July, Great News Radio celebrates with you and seeks God's favor on our lives and on this country and on this world as we proclaim that good news message of Jesus. Here's the Singing Men of GNN singing our national anthem. That's just a favorite song that is sung by the Singing Men of GNN at Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. That was before a packed hall a few weeks after 9/11, and that was recorded on site. It's on our first CD, Singing and Declaring the Wonders of God. And in just a few minutes, I'll play another recording from that evening, the Battle Hymn of the Republic, also by the Singing Men of GNN, joined with the Varsity Men's Glee Club. But let me give you a little insight into some of the presidents and the Bible. This is written by Vernon McLellan from a magazine titled America, Return to God. And on the front page, there's our Capitol building with a citation from Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And I found this interesting as they connected many of our presidents up to Ronald Reagan with aspects of the Bible. It has been said that a nation rises and falls on its leadership. If so, the Bible has been one of the greatest influences in America's best-known, most courageous leaders. George Washington, our first president, added the prayer, quote, "So help me God," end of quote, to his inauguration oath. Then he reverently stood and kissed the Bible, which had been used in the oath. John Adams, the second president of the United States, revealed that he personally studied the scripture every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday mornings. Andrew Jackson, America's seventh president, referred to the Bible as, quote, "the rock on which the republic rests," end of quote. He read from the Word daily, at least 3 to 5 chapters. William Henry Harris, the ninth president, also read the Bible every day. Abraham Lincoln, the 16th president, called the Word, quote, "the best gift God has ever given to man. But for it, we could not know right from wrong," end of quote. Rutherford B. Hayes, the 19th chief executive, read a portion of the Bible to his family each morning at breakfast. Benjamin Harrison, the 23rd president, not only read the Bible himself, but taught the scriptures in Sunday school. William McKinley, the 25th man elected to the country's top position, was known to be a deeply committed Christian. Woodrow Wilson, the 28th president, once stated, "The Bible is the word of life. I beg that you will read it and find this out for yourself. When you have read the Bible, you will know it is the word of God, because you will have found in it the key to your own heart, your own happiness, and your own duty." Calvin Coolidge, the 13th president of the United States, in his remarks about the Bible, quote, "In this book will be found the solution of all the problems of the world," end of quote. Herbert Hoover, the 31st president, said, "The whole of the inspirations of our civilization springs from the teaching of Christ and the lessons of the prophets. To read the Bible for these fundamentals is a necessity of American life." Now, in the home of Dwight D. Eisenhower, our 34th chief executive, the Bible was read each day during family devotions, with each family member reading that passage in turn. And finally, the 40th president, Ronald Reagan, wrote, "Inside the Bible's pages lie all the answers to all the problems man has ever known. I hope Americans will read and study the Bible. It is my firm belief that the enduring values presented in its pages have a great meaning for each of us and for our nation. The Bible can touch our hearts, order our minds, and refresh our souls." Now, let's see, I'm trying to find when this was published. I don't see a publication date, because that's where they ended, at Ronald Reagan, but I thought that was a very interesting article entitled "The Presidents and the Bible," written by Vernon McLellan. Well, let me share with you another traditional song I like to play during the 4th of July or Memorial Day or Veterans Day. It's the Battle Hymn of the Republic, as sung by the Singing Men of GNN, joined by the Varsity Men's Glee Club. Recorded live at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, this presentation was a few weeks after 9/11, and the song is included on our first CD titled "Singing and Declaring the Wonders of God." Here's the Singing Men of GNN, joined by the Varsity Men's Glee Club, directed by Dr. Barrington Coleman.
Lives in love is terrible.
I just love that arrangement, the powerful message in the song, the piano accompaniment, and the acoustics there at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. And it made that such a powerful song as we celebrate Independence Day on this, the 4th of July. And as we think about these great freedoms that we enjoy in this great nation of ours, how much more the liberty we have in Christ, the freedom in Christ, because of the sanctifying work he's done on our behalf, as God extended his love, that gift of freedom, to each and every one of us that accept his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as our Savior. I like how Jason has referred to this Independence Day as a day to be dependent on God, as he's the source of our true freedom. Well, here's Jeremy Camp with a great song about reviving us, O Lord, as that would truly make this Independence Day meaningful, even more meaningful, as we as a nation were revived and following the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's Jeremy Camp, Revive Us, O Lord.
We have turned from your ways, Lord. Your fruit we cease to bear. Though we've been unfaithful,
Before I close out with Yankee Doodle Dandy, as presented by the U of I Marching Band, let me read a little excerpt from a paper titled Our Freedom to Pray. On July 4th of 2016, the birthday of the United States of America will be celebrated all across this nation, marking 240 years of freedom and independence we have enjoyed at the cost of many lives over the years. However, do we as Americans truly realize what many have sacrificed in order to provide the freedoms for which we stand? On July 2, 1776, the Congress voted to approve a complete separation from Great Britain. 2 days afterwards, July 4th, the early draft of the Declaration of Independence was signed, albeit by two individuals at the time, John Hancock, President of Congress, and Charles Thompson, Secretary of Congress. 4 days later, on July 8th, members of Congress took the document and read it aloud from the steps of Independence Hall, proclaiming it to the city of Philadelphia, after which the Liberty Bell was rung. The inscription around the top of that bell, Leviticus 25:10, was most appropriate for the occasion. And Leviticus 25:10 stated, "Proclaim liberty throughout the land and to all the inhabitants thereof." To see the turmoil in other nations, their struggles and multiple revolutions, and yet to see the stability and blessings that we have here in America, we may ask, how has this been achieved? What was the basis of America's independence? John Adams said, quote, "The general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity," end of quote. Perhaps the clearest indication of the spirit of the American Revolution was given by John Adams in a letter to Abigail the day after Congress approved the Declaration. He wrote to her two letters on that day. The first was short and concise, jubilant that the Declaration had been approved. The second was much longer and more pensive, giving serious consideration to what had been done that day. Adams cautiously noted, quote, "This day will be the most memorable epoch in the history of America. I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival," end of quote. It is amazing that on the very day they approved the Declaration, Adams was already foreseeing that their actions would be celebrated by future generations. Adams contemplated whether it would be proper to hold such celebrations, but then he concluded that the day should be commemorated, but in a particular manner and with a specific spirit. As he told Abigail, it ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotions to God Almighty, end of quote. John Adams believed that the 4th of July should become a religious holiday, a day when we remembered God's hand in deliverance and a day of religious activities when we committed ourselves to Him in, quote, "solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty," end of quote. Such was the spirit of the American Revolution as seen through the eyes of those who led it, evidenced even further in the words of John Quincy Adams, one who was deeply involved in the activities of the Revolution. According to John Quincy Adams, Christmas and the 4th of July were intrinsically connected. On the 4th of July, the founders simply took the precepts of Christ, who came into the world through his birth, Christmas, and incorporated those principles into civic government. Have you ever considered what it meant for those 56 men, an eclectic group of ministers, businessmen, teachers, university professors, sailors, captains, and farmers, to sign the Declaration of Independence? This was a contract that began with the reasons for the separations from Great Britain and closed in the final paragraph stating, quote, "And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor," end of quote. These men took this pledge seriously, and it cost them greatly. When Samuel Adams signed the declaration, he said, quote, "We have this day restored the sovereign, to whom all men ought to be obedient." He reigns in heaven, and from the rising to the setting of the sun, let his kingdom come. End of quote. The spiritual emphasis manifested so often by the Americans during the Revolution caused one crown-appointed British governor to write to Great Britain complaining that, quote, if you ask an American who is his master, he'll tell you he has none, and he has no governor but Jesus Christ. End of quote. This was boldly declared with not one but 16 congressional proclamations for the National Day of Prayer and Fasting through the Revolution. Wow, a powerful page entitled Our Freedom to Pray that I wanted to share with you today on Independence Day, this 4th of July. Why don't I close out with a portion of Yankee Doodle Dandy as recorded by the U of I Marching Band. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.